The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's wonderful to be together this morning to worship God, but let us continue in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you invite us into your holy presence. We thank you for your patience and love in teaching those first disciples long ago. And that you continue to be that patient and loving teacher today. Give us ears to hear what you would teach us, eyes to see what you would show us, and God, the faith to step forward with you, living out your call in our lives. We pray in your holy name. Amen. So this month we are focusing in on stewardship, that biblical concept of taking hold of what God has entrusted to us and seeking to use it for God's good purpose. That idea that everything we are and everything we have belongs not to us, but to the one who has entrusted it to us. And so the question for us is not, you know, what's on my bucket list? What do I want to do? But what is it that God would have me do with all that he's given me? And so we've titled the series this month, Resource Battles. Because if we're honest about it, for all of us, there is this battle that goes on within us as to what we will do with what's been entrusted to us. The first week we talked about, as we work out that battle of how best to use the resources entrusted to us, do we come at life from a standpoint of scarcity, believing that we don't really have enough, that we may not get enough, or from a perspective of abundance, that God has given us everything that we need to accomplish his good purpose, that we can trust him on this? Last week, Pastor Jonna talked about the direction, the drive that we can nurture in ourselves. It's within each one of us to come at life from a standpoint of greed. I mean, I know none of us at Salem tend toward greed, but if we're honest with ourselves, it's within us to always want a little bit more, maybe a lot more, if only we had more. But we can also nurture that heart for generosity that comes out of our reflection on who God is and on God's goodness and grace to us, and that life really becomes free and fully alive when we nurture that part of who we are, who God is calling us to be generous people in this world, to follow God's way of his generosity to us. Today, what we'll talk about is that resource battle that goes on within us to focus on what we want and what we think we need, or to focus on walking by faith. Because in this world, we almost never have everything we think we need, to say nothing of all that we want. And the question for us is, can we walk by faith anyway? Will we walk trusting in God, even though it doesn't seem like we have everything we need? The gospel lesson today speaks directly to this issue. It comes from John chapter 6, and it's the story, as has been referred to earlier, Jesus seeing this great crowd of people coming to him and asking his disciples, so do we have enough? Do we have what we need to feed these people? After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up a mountain, and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where will we get bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip said to him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that are left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again up a mountain by himself. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I love that picture of Jesus sitting down with his disciples, leaning near to Philip, and seeing this crowd coming, saying to Philip, "So where will we get bread for these people to eat?" This is a test, we're told, for he himself knew what he was going to do. I feel like that disciple. I feel like Philip, sitting next to Jesus, as I look out at this world, to be very honest, over the past week or two, especially, it's interesting how as I'm working toward a sermon, reflecting on Scripture, how the very thing that I'm wrestling with tends to fit so well into what the Scripture is all about. For me, I felt like Philip, sitting there with Jesus, looking out at the world and saying, "What are we going to do? Jesus, look up over there at Turkey. Did you see what happened? Look at Syria. Did you see? Look at Israel. Did you see? What are we going to do?" I feel like that when I look at Congress, when I look at our nation and see how fractured we are politically. I feel the anxiety welling up in me, and I wonder, what is it that we can do? What is it that I'm supposed to do? How can I fix this? I look at the church, the larger church, and the divisions that are a reality in a church that Jesus prayed would be united, that our greatest witness to the world be that we are united in our faith, we're united in our mission, and yet the church so often seems so fractured, just like the society around it. If I'm going to be honest, I get anxious when it comes to church right here at Salem. I want to be a good pastor. I want to serve this church well. I want to see us grow forward in our mission together. And I hear Jesus leaning toward me and saying, "Mark, what are you going to do to make sure this church lives into the future that I envision for it?" And I go, "Lord, all I've got are 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I don't feel like I've got what this world needs, what this church needs, what my family needs. I don't have much to offer here." Do you ever feel like that? Or do you feel like, yeah, I've got it together, and I know what this world needs, and I've got all the answers? Which, you know, I don't know, maybe you're different than me. But I find myself getting anxious. And I love the way this story speaks to me. And I trust to you too. In the midst of those anxieties that day by day can begin to well up and seem overwhelming to us. So what is it that we can glean from this text about how to live into this test that is life? You know, it's an ongoing test for us. Teachers don't give tests just to see if we're going to pass or fail. We tend to get tested to see if we're learning so that we can keep learning. That's the point of a test. That's why Jesus, with his disciples, tests them from time to time to see how they're doing, to encourage them forward, not to discourage them. It's when we realize that our faith is faltering that we get tested to help us recognize what we need. And this passage helps us understand what we need in the face of life's test. And the first thing that I see in this is that we need to keep looking to Jesus, keep listening to Jesus, keep wrestling with the questions that he puts before us. You remember back in September, we were talking about that text from Micah chapter 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? You know, that question that's put before us. What is it, God, that I'm supposed to do to make sure that I'm right with you, that I'm getting all of my T's crossed and my I's dotted, that I'm doing it right? With what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What is it, Lord? And the passage goes on, he has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And we talked about how that question, that challenge never goes away, that in some ways it would be easier if God would just say, tithe and you're done. Give $5 a week and you can feel good about it all. But it doesn't say that in the scriptures. We live with the challenge to keep wrestling with the questions. And what is it that we're supposed to bring to this world that is so troubled? That question doesn't go away. It may change from time to time in our lives, but we have to keep wrestling with it. It's one of the reasons why, as we come to a stewardship series like this, I think it's so important for us to bring the questions back up. Not to pressure you. If you're on a fixed income and you hear me saying you've got to give more, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying you, like me, like all of us, need to keep wrestling with what does it mean at this stage of my life, this season in life, with these resources that God has given me. What does it mean for me to be a faithful steward, a faithful disciple? What is it that I have to bring to you, Jesus? And of course, the second gleaning from this text is that we can bring, and we must bring, what we have, not what we don't have. I may wish at times that I had more wisdom, and actually I wish that every day. I may wish that I had more resources, more power, that I could fix everything, that I had that within me. But I don't. I'm human. I have to remember again and again, I'm not the Messiah. I know none of you have any questions about that when it comes to me. But I have to remember, I'm not God. I'm not the Messiah. All I have is what God has given me to offer. And Lord, here it is. I pray that that boy offered his 5 barley loaves. You know, the least of bread that can be offered. It was the bread of the poor people. It's not as expensive as wheat bread. It was the least expensive of all. These two little sardine fish. I hope that that boy didn't give it to Jesus thinking, it's not much, Jesus. But here's what I have. Thanks for letting me be a part of this. You know, wouldn't it be sad to think that he didn't experience the joy of being a part of that because he felt like his gift wasn't much? And wouldn't it be sad if our bell choir came up here and they played and they didn't experience the joy of bringing what they've got to God? I pray that as we place our little bits, our five barley loaves, our two fish into these plates, as we offer to our children and to our neighbors the five barley loaves, the two fish, that we'll do so with joy, that we'll serve the Lord with gladness. Because it's not our gifts that the world really needs. It's God's Spirit working through them, accomplishing more than we know to ask for or imagine. And that's what we see taking place here as this boy offers what he has. A third gleaning that comes to me very strongly through this passage is the importance of not just offering what we have that God calls us to offer, but of as we discern God's leading, his call in our lives, to practice saying no to those things that aren't what God is calling us to do. I love at the end of this passage, the people come to Jesus and they want to make him king. Did you notice what Jesus does? He says no. Not so much with his words, but he walks away. I'm struck over and over again by how much Jesus does for people, by how many villages he visits, by how amazing the abundance of what he does is. But I'm also struck by how in his ministry, there are many villages he doesn't go to, many people that he doesn't heal, many things that the disciples around him and the world around him think he should do that he doesn't do. What does it mean for our lives as we think about being good stewards to not only say yes to God, but to say, no, that's not my call? This gets back to that issue of wrestling with the question for you. What is it that God is calling you to offer? He's not calling you to offer the same amount or even the same percentage as somebody else sitting nearby. The question is, what is he calling you to offer? Financially as well as in other ways. My family and I watched a wonderful movie earlier this week. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's called McFarland. It's about a coach who goes to this very impoverished town in California. And this woman comes to him, another teacher, who's full of enthusiasm for helping the students and helping the town in the midst of their poverty and the challenges that they face. And she says to him, you know, you could do this, and you could get involved in this way, and you could get involved in this way, and oh, you should do this. And she has a list of ideas for him of what he could do to make a difference in these students' lives. And his answer to her is, it's not really my thing. And she walks away disappointed in him. She thinks she doesn't care. But it turns out that by doing his thing, being a coach, he takes these impoverished boys who are working out in the fields before and after school, who are in incredible shape because they're so active, and he turns them into a cross-country team that wins the state championship. He helps these boys learn about sticking with things. They go on to college. The town's morale gets built up. Amazing things happen as this coach doesn't do everything somebody else thinks he should do, but the thing that he's gifted to do. And what does that mean in your life and in mine? Not to try to be everything, not to try to do everything, but to do the things that God is gifting and calling us to do. Finally, the ultimate gleaning out of this passage, out of this whole chapter, John chapter 6, out of the whole of the Gospel of John, in the face of life's challenges, the test that is life, that we put our faith in Jesus, that we trust him come what may. In this situation, Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he feeds the 5,000. But what happens when Jesus is in another situation and he goes to the cross and he's not going to provide a way for him not to go to the cross, but he's going to die? Will we trust God then too? Not just when with our eyes we seem to get what we need, what we want. For the disciples that day when Jesus died on the cross, he could have chosen to get down from the cross. But he chose instead to stay there and to die. He knew that through that, by not giving people what they wanted, not giving people what they even thought they needed, that he would provide life for them. And ultimately, this is what this passage is all about. It's for us to keep on believing in Jesus, to put our faith in him, come what may, whatever the challenges might be, whatever the overwhelming issues might be, for us to offer what we have, to listen to Jesus and wrestle with him as to what our part in it is, but ultimately to trust him and to keep walking forward in faith. This is, in fact, what Jesus says a few verses on in this passage. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. For us, that's the ultimate call. For us this day and every day to build our lives, our faith on Jesus Christ, and to venture forward offering our barley loaves and our little fish, our lives, trusting him, that through it all, he will be faithful. We can trust him in this and in all things. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for what John, the gospel writer, calls a sign. A sign, Lord, that points to something far greater than the miracle itself. Help us as we read about this sign, this wonderful thing that you did on that day so long ago. Help us to allow this sign to point us to you and grant us the grace to believe in you, to build our lives upon you, to offer to you, Lord God, our bodies and all that we are and all that we have as a living sacrifice to you, trusting, Lord, that through it all you are faithful, that you will accomplish your purpose far more than we even know to ask for or imagine. May it be so, O God, in our lives, in this church, in this world, to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.